We'll spend the hour talking about something most of us would rather not talk about because it's so pervasive, annoying, health-threatening, you name it. But for all those reasons, we have to talk about wildfire smoke because we get it every year in amounts great enough to pose health problems. NPR's California Newsroom recently published in audio and web versions the report Dangerous Air. The work goes both deep and wide into levels and effects of smoke here and also shows how far it travels. We'll hear the two audio reports in the next segment, and we have half of the team here. Aaron Glantz is NPR California Newsroom Senior Investigations Editor. Aaron, welcome.
It's great to be with you.
And we have Kaylee Wells with us as well, a reporter and producer from KCRW in Santa Monica. Kaylee, thank you for joining us.
Hey, glad to be here. Thanks.
Good to have you both. Aaron, talk about the beginning of the process, if you would. This is quite an effort.
Well, basically, we wanted to know, how bad is it? I mean, all of us living here on the West Coast know that our world has changed, that we used to be living through wildfires that would come and go, and now we have wildfire seasons that go on for weeks and months, and we're choking on air, and our children can't necessarily go outside during recess every day, and we wonder if we can play three-on-three basketball, and if we're a rancher, we worry about our livestock and our own health. And what we wanted to know was exactly how big is this problem? And can we pinpoint that for every community in America? And so the data journalist on our team, Allison Saldanha, spent months working with a team of researchers at Stanford University. And what they did was they took satellite images of the Earth. Every day, there are NOAA satellites that take a picture of the Earth, and they used machine learning techniques to map the smoke overhead from these satellite images down to the zip code. And then what we did was we counted up how much more smoke we are breathing in each and every day over the past 10 years. And what we found was extremely troubling. Where I'm talking to you from in San Francisco, I'm now breathing 45 days of smoke a year. Where Kaylee is in Los Angeles, she's now breathing about a month of smoke a year. And up in your region, in Ashland and Medford and far northern California, because you all are in the worst fire zone and also getting all that smoke blowing down from Eastern Washington State and British Columbia, you're now living with 2 months of smoke a year. I looked up in our data, which you can find on the web, and in Ashland, 66 smoke days a year, which is double what you all were experiencing just a decade ago.
Okay, well, you guys are really on top of this. You got even ahead of some of the numbers I had pulled in off of there. So yeah, the fact is, and I'm curious to know about the Southern California end of things, Kaylee Wells, because we know that things burn a bit more quickly and are year-round in Southern California, but the smoke is hanging around you as well, it sounds like.
That is true. It is, you're right, it's not, I guess, as bad. Any amount of smoke is bad, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But generally, the climate is different here such that we have a lot of grassland. So when we have fire here, it burns really fast, which is bad news when it comes to trying to save homes. But when it comes to the amount of smoke per acre, there's a lot more dense forest in places like Northern California. And so you're getting a lot more smoke for each acre burned than you are down here. That being said, having lived here my whole life, I remember days when you would see ash falling from the sky, but I only remember a handful, maybe 5 to 10 in my whole 18 years growing up. But then nowadays, that kind of thing is happening, it seems like, almost every year. So you can notice the difference, even though we aren't breaking records compared to other parts of the state, you certainly see the difference. It has just about tripled between our base years of 2010 to 2013 and then our current period, which was 2016 to 2020.
Yeah, it's interesting to think about the trends here, because I know 2019, and I checked this against your information, was not a bad year for smoke around here. Just, there weren't as many fires, for one thing. And I remembered that as being one bad weekend for the Rogue Valley. But it seems like it is just more and more all the time. To the point of producing all these pieces, Kaylee, how did you guys divide up the duties among the four journalists involved? We already got a sketch of what Allison Saldana did.
That's true. And then there was Farida Jabala Romero up in Northern California, and then me in Southern California, who were in charge of sort of putting faces to the data. So the way that we ended up splitting it, we decided that I would handle a bit more of the, urban side of things, because a lot of Los Angeles is very urban. And then Farida handled more of the rural side of things. So she spoke to farmers, and then I would speak to people that were living in Irvine, for example, part of LA's urban sprawl. Mm-hmm. And then she handled the Northern California data, and I took it from the Southern California perspective.
So journalists are paid not to be surprised, but was there stuff in this pile of data that did surprise either of you? And I'll start with you, Kaylee.
The main takeaway that it is smokier than it was a decade ago, no, I'm not surprised to see that. To see, at least where I am, that it has tripled, the amount that it increased, I will say, is surprising. And to see that it is even more so in Northern California, I recognize that the bigger fires are generally up there, but the amount of how much it has increased, that is surprising to me.
I always feel like this story is one that the power in it is just like adding a number to something that we're already living with. Like, we know the smoke is affecting our lives, but there's something unsettling about it being an unknown fact, about us not knowing how bad the situation really is. And so I feel like it's the kind of situation where, now knowing that at my house in San Francisco, we're breathing an average of 45 days of smoke a year, knowing that at your radio studios, you're breathing 66 days of smoke a year as a result of these climate-induced megafires, it gives us the power to think seriously about scaling a solution that goes with the size of the problem. Because I just feel like sitting here in San Francisco, I mean, we experienced the Tubbs Fire, those Wine Country fires in right. 2017. We experienced the Camp Fire in 2018. So that was back-to-back years that the skies were just full of toxic smoke. And we've known since then that our world has changed. But what we haven't had is the facts to help guide solutions. And that's what I hope that we can get a little bit closer to with this investigation.
All right, so there are two audio pieces, and so let's hear the first of these. This is Farida Jabala Romero reporting from Northern California.
At Tempedroso's farm, two dozen cows walk on acres of pasture and munch happily on grass. But last year, his farm, 100 miles north of Sacramento, was inundated with smoke. Pedroso says that led to a big outbreak of painful pink eye infections. One cow lost her eye.
All of those, the group of heifers, every single one of them had it.
And scientists say that because smoke irritates the eyes, it can make animals or people more susceptible to infections like pink eye. Pedroso also worries about what all that bad air, year after year, is doing to his body. He remembers seeing huge plumes of smoke from his doorstep as wildfire consumed the nearby town of Paradise in 2018.
If you smell smoke, it's probably not so good, but when you smell rubber and plastic, real strong chemicals, I just think that's what, you know, we really, really need to avoid.
Glenn County, where Pedroso's farm is located, has suffered from some of the most persistent wildfire smoke. Nearly 3 months a year on average, between 2016 and 2020. That's according to an investigation by NPR's California Newsroom that found millions of people across California and the western United States have been exposed to a tremendous rise in wildfire smoke. Here's our data journalist, Allison Saldana.
You have places like Chico and Sacramento where it's nearly 2 months of wildfire smoke exposure.
Saldana analyzed a decade of smoke data in partnership with Stanford University's Environmental Change and Human Outcomes Lab. Together, they studied federal satellite images to count the days smoke showed up in each zip code. And they found it all over the state.
Places like LA are now witnessing, on average, about 30 days of smoke.
In California, residents of Willows, a town near Pedroso's farm, were exposed to smoke the most often, 3 months on average per year.
So that was the cafeteria area. This is just one of the hallways.
Dr. Jared Garrison is the Glenn County Health Officer. He shows me around the small hospital in Willows.
I'm taking you down to where the clinic is.
Garrison says the smoke has hastened the death of some of his patients with lung problems. That's consistent with scientific research that has found dangerous microscopic particles in wildfire smoke can make lung and heart problems worse.
You know, it is associated with sudden cardiac death, so people just kind of dying all of a sudden. There's data that shows that it's linked with cancer.
Here in California, state data show the smoke is sending more people to the hospital. NPR's California Newsroom found 30,000 more hospitalizations for lung and heart problems in 2018 than just 2 years before.
When the individuals have means, I suggest they get out of the area, get away from the smoke if they've got severe lung problems.
On hazy days, Vietnam veteran Larry George is stuck inside his two-bedroom house watching TV.
It just feels like you're not allowed to go out. You know, you don't have the freedom you had.
George has a chronic lung problem. Even walking a few steps to his pickup truck is difficult.
You know, it's like you've been running. That's kind of the way you get the feeling. You get to where, like that.
So he's thinking of moving to Illinois to live with his stepdaughter. Back at Tim Pedroso's farm, he says he's also considering leaving the state to protect his health.
My doctor did say that I probably have smoke damage, so I don't want to stick around here and get worse.
If mega wildfires continue, more Californians might also see their lives changed because of dangerous air. I'm Farida Javala Romero in Willows.
So that is part one of two of the audio parts of the Dangerous Air series. We have, again, Aaron Glantz, the senior investigations editor for NPR's California Newsroom, and KCRW reporter Kaylee Wells on the line from Los Angeles, also participants in the process. Aaron, there are some really stark comparisons here as you get deeper into the maps and the web component, and I apologize to people who are trying to look at this on the web. We have a dead link at the moment that I need to fix, but the comparisons show that average smoke days for 2009 through 2013 on one map, 2016 through 2020 on another, where darker is worse. How dark is that 2016 to 2020 map for most of California?
I mean, it's dark, especially up where you are in the far northern reaches of California and southern Oregon. You're looking at more than 2 months a year on average in most of the north part of the state and southern Oregon. Willows, which is near Chico, which is where Ferrito was reporting, that was the highest rate, where you're looking at upwards of 3 months. I mean, of course, that's where the campfire was, it's where the Mendocino Complex fire was. So as you move north from Sacramento through that Chico, that northern part of the Central Valley, it's going to be the worst. And then as you get up near Redding and southern Oregon, you're now looking at over 2 months a year on average for the most part. And just to say, you mentioned earlier that every year is different and the fires are in different places every year. So that's why we took this five-year average of looking at the average number of smoke days from 2016 to 2020, because, you know, maybe 1 year there might not be so bad, the next year a lot worse in your particular area. So in Willows, for example, where Ferrito was last year, there was 120 days of smoke. So 4 months of smoke a year, a third of the year smoke in Willows last year. This year, you know, even despite the Dixie Fire, which has just been horrific, and so much smoke blowing down to where you are from farther north, it's looking slightly better than that, but we're still living in this terrible new normal. And another thing that we found looking at the hospital data in California is 30,000 more hospitalizations for cardiac and respiratory conditions in 2018 than just 2 years before when the wildfires weren't so bad. So people are going to the hospital at increasing rates because of heart and lung problems. And obviously, breathing and having a heartbeat are the two most important bodily functions we have.
Yeah, no doubt. Kaylee, I want to talk about things that that Tim Pedroza talked about in his piece. Granted, I know he didn't talk to you, but just in the general idea of people saying, you know, I'm going to get away from this smoke. I mean, Los Angeles is a place that a lot of people do get away from. Just ask people who've tried to buy real estate in Southern Oregon that there is an effect from California departures. I mean, do you, in your reporting, do you run across people who are listing smoke as a reason for wanting to get out of the L.A. basin?
I have found that it's a reason for trying to move around the LA basin.
Interesting.
So, yes, because it really depends on where you are. And, of course, we have problems with smog, too. So if you're closer to the, if you can afford living closer to the coast, that's frequently somewhere that people will go to try and avoid it. Although the problem with the increase in smoke is that some of those coastal areas also happen to be near the kind of nature that is catching on fire more often. So it is interesting that as time has gone on, it's become less and less escapable, the air pollution, getting more smoke on the coast, and then, of course, the smog that you've always enjoyed inland toward the basin and the Coachella Valleys. The problem is, though, a lot of these places that people would be fleeing to aren't that much better necessarily. And even if you're going all the way across the country, those places are still seeing big increases. If you want to escape to Denver, it's up 70% smoke days in Denver. If you want to go to Boston, it's 54% in Boston. If you want to go to DC, it's up 37% there, and they're still having 20 days of smoke on average. So the sad part of the story is even if you're escaping, you're not escaping smoke altogether.
No, and in fact, Tim Pedroza, the dairy farmer from Glenn County, talks about getting out and going to Missouri. And I look specifically at Missouri, based on the maps provided from Dangerous Air. And boy, it's not doing much better there at all.
No, unfortunately not. Oddly enough, Los Angeles is sort of a lighter color than you might find in Missouri. So what we did find is probably, if you're trying to escape it, Hawaii. That seems to be the spot. That seems to be the one place with the lightest color.
Wow. So, you know, you mentioned how far east things are going, Kaylee. I mean, and the online list shows the top 20 major cities with smoky day increases. I mean, obviously most are in the mountain or far west, but three of the top 20 you provide are Baltimore, Philadelphia, and Boston. So this stuff is really going a long way.
Well, and that's the thing is as the fires get bigger, the smoke is able to rise higher and higher. And so then it gets stuck in the jet stream and it's able to travel farther and farther. So now you are seeing smoke all the way on the East Coast or even beyond that on some of the largest fires.
All right. So let me come back to Aaron and talk first of all about, boy, the kinds of conversations journalists get into when deciding what to include or leave out of a major piece. I mean, you must have gone for months about the kinds of stuff that you'd put in this and not.
Well, I mean, I think that we were just really focused on two questions. How bad is it in terms of the smoke, and how to design this data analysis that Allison did so that we could get a good answer to that question. That was no mean feat. I mean, we initially thought that what we were going to do was look at the EPA air monitors. Like, I'm sure most of your listeners now, if it's a smoky day, they go on Air Now and they look and see if it's dangerous or not. But the problem is that those air monitors, especially in a rural area like yours, are not that present. I mean, you can go miles and miles and miles with no air monitor, and we thought it was really important to show this down to the neighborhood. So then we were in this new world of satellite imagery and turning satellite imagery into data that we could then provide to your audience. And that was a lot of work. And then the other thing that was a tremendous amount of work was trying to figure out how bad all this smoke is for our health. And so I already talked about the increased hospitalizations that we saw. Another thing that we decided to include was to look at the number of asthma medications. And we looked at the Medicare and Medicaid data, and we found that in California, there had been an increase of 240,000 albuterol prescriptions. This is the main asthma prescription in 2018. Compared to 5 years before. So people are going to the hospital more often, they're needing asthma medication more often. And then the issue was taking this data that Allison had analyzed and putting it in the hands of reporters like Farida and Kaylee, who could go out into the world and see, you know, what change is that making in people's lives. And so, you know, we played this one piece that Farida did featuring Tim Pedroza, the dairy farmer. She had another piece that I don't think we're going to play today, which was about schools.
Oh, no, I'll get into that. I'll play it in a couple minutes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, excellent. Yeah, so that was also like just kind of like trying to figure out the ways in which the smoke is affecting every single part of our lives.
Mm-hmm. So, Kaylee, what were some of the first places you looked at to try to find effects in Southern California?
Well, we looked at the data and tried to find the places where the amount of smoke has increased the most. And so when you're in Los Angeles, you're looking at places that are names that are recognizable. So Malibu, Brentwood, these are the kind of places that, again, are very close to some of our notoriously flammable Santa Monica Mountains. So they have seen the increase the most. And then also places like there's a place called the Castaic in the Santa Clarita Valley. They, again, are also surrounded by nature. So anyone that's living near those grasslands that has given California the name of the Golden State, those Golden Rolling Hills, those are the places that I would go to.
We are talking about smoke from wildfires and how it is changing our lives in the region, and not for the better because it is showing up more often. It is reaching more dangerous levels, and it is just affecting people in ways like sending them to the hospital and increasing asthma medication prescriptions, all things we've heard already in our discussion of the series Dangerous Air, which was in two audio reports. We're about to hear number two, and a web component as well, put together by the likes of Allison Saldana, Farida Javala Romero, Kaylee Wells, and Aaron Glantz. Kaylee Wells from KCRW Santa Monica is one of our guests here on The Exchange. Aaron Glantz is the senior investigations editor for the NPR California Newsroom. We'll come back and talk with them in just a moment, but first I do want to get right to the second piece in the series, which involved Farida Javala Romero visiting schools in Northern California.
Longtimers say sports events anchor the town of Willows, 100 miles north of Sacramento. At a Friday junior varsity football game in this town of 6,000, cheerleaders shake their gold and purple pom-poms.
K-I-C-K, kick that ball! K-I-C-K, kick that ball!
Thick haze covers nearby mountains in this part of the Sacramento Valley as megafires burn in Northern California. When there's too much smoke in the air, schools cancel outdoor activities like football. But today...
Today's better, obviously, because we're playing the game.
Stacy Lancey has two teen sons, one of them a student at this high school. She's also a third grade teacher and says the bad air quality is affecting students.
As far as like kids going out to recess, playing sports, and kind of like overall health, we don't know why we're having headaches and runny noses.
Headaches, runny noses, and a myriad of more serious health problems have all been linked to breathing wildfire smoke. Willows endured more than 3 months of smoke per year on average between 2016 and 2020, making it the smokiest place in the state. millions of Americans are also breathing a lot more smoke from Western wildfires, an impact felt from Los Angeles to Washington, D.C. That's according to an analysis of a decade of federal satellite images by NPR's California Newsroom in partnership with Stanford University's Environmental Change and Human Outcomes Lab. In a small town like Willows, physician assistant Brett Brown regularly treats patients at the hospital's family clinic. When there's smoke in the air, he sees more patients suffering asthma attacks, intense migraines, and stress.
There's always somebody who says something about, well, because of the smoke, insert, you know, problem here, whether it's I haven't been able to breathe as well because my allergies are so bad, or I haven't been able to see my mom and dad because of COVID, and now I can't even go outside, so my mental health is so much worse.
Children are more sensitive to dangerous particles and wildfire smoke because their lungs are developing. Since the scale of wildfires has never been seen before in modern history, we don't know much about the long-term impacts, and that has parents like Brown worried.
So if you let your kids play outside during smoke days, what's going to happen to their lung capacity or their cancer risk? We don't know what that data looks like yet.
At Murdoch Elementary, hundreds of students pour out of classrooms and play with balls and hula hoops during recess. It's a good day, but Principal Miguel Barriga doesn't take this recess for granted. When the air quality reaches levels the federal government says are unhealthy, Barriga has to keep students inside all day. And that's tough for some kids.
You know, we'll end up in the office, acting out in class, get emotional one way or another, or want to go home.
Like other school administrators here, Barriga monitors local air quality reports constantly during wildfire season. He says he wants better forest management and solutions to climate change so fires don't burn so intensely.
You want to believe that the decisions at levels higher than ours are going to be made, will be made to make it be more normal.
More like it used to be, he says, when you could go outside and not worry about breathing wildfire smoke. I'm Farida Javala Romero in Willows.
And again, that's the second of two parts, audio parts, for the series Dangerous Air, put out by the NPR California Newsroom. We have Aaron Glantz, the senior investigations editor in that newsroom from San Francisco, on the line with us, along with Kaylee Wells, a reporter and producer at KCRW in Los Angeles. Aaron, you had mentioned already that because of the lack, which we discover often during fire season, of real specific local measurement devices for PM2.5, you opted to go for smoke and satellite imagery instead. How long just the process of collating all that data and getting it matched up with daily reports?
It was a four-month investigation for Allison, our lead data journalist, and the team at Stanford. It was really incredible, painstaking work. And there's actually a whole separate blog on KCRW's website that Allison wrote that kind of lays out with a lot of computer jargon for your listeners who might be interested in words like polygon-shaped files and tiger census and Zicta and geocoding. It was a lot. But at the end of the day, we were able to bring this really important information to the public, and I'm really proud of that.
So one of the points here, though, is that if you're not using 2.5 readings, you're really just getting a measurement of the presence of smoke. Is this what the satellite imagery gives you?
Correct. Mm-hmm. And we opted not to gauge for the thickness of smoke mm-hmm. because that would get a little bit confusing. So, you know, when I tell you that in Ashland there are 66 smoke days on average every year between 2016 and 2020, some of those days, the smoke might be pretty high up in the sky, and some of it might be the kind of thing where when you're just walking down the street, you cough. Mm-hmm. The experts that we consulted working on this story told us that this was a good thing to do because basically breathing any smoke is bad, and breathing more smoke is worse. And one of the real unanswered questions that we're just at the beginning on is trying to understand what the long-term impact of all of this is. I mean, this is a new problem. right? We didn't have this much smoke ever before. And so we don't actually know if 66 days of smoke is twice as bad for you or three times as bad for you or four times as bad for you as 20 days of smoke. We don't know if how much worse it is for your body if the smoke is high up in the sky or down on the ground when you're breathing it day after day after day. We don't know what the cumulative impact is of breathing it year after year. And it's also important to point out that PM2.5, which is those little particulates, little bits of leaves and charred embers that kind of come out, and 2.5 is the number of
microns,
like smaller than a millimeter. Yeah, microns that it is. That's not the only thing. I mean, when the campfire burned down Paradise, it blew up multiple gas stations. It burned the Safeway and all the Drano that was in the Safeway and the other household cleaning supplies. It burned lead pipes that were throughout the city, and all that went up into the air. And one of the things that we say in our story is that, you know, that lead from the Paradise Fire was tracked as far south as Merced and San Jose. And so... And so I don't know. We didn't look actually at what blew north. We were looking at what blew south. And so the PM2.5 doesn't even tell you the full picture of what all was up there in the sky that we saw in those pictures.
Yeah, and it rings true for us here too, because we had the Alameda Drive fire in September of 2020. That burned down large chunks of Talent and Phoenix, two small communities north of Ashland, and the firefighters were talking about being out there, you know, without they were wildland firefighters, so they didn't have respirator gear, and here they are in town where structures are going up, and you could hear the propane tanks exploding, and you could hear the car gas tanks exploding, and all that stuff went up in the air here as well. So all kinds of stuff in the air for sure. Kaylee Wells, we had talked a bit about around California health effects and things like Aaron mentioning the rise in prescriptions for asthma medications. Has Southern California seen a boost? We've also talked to the people at UCSF ourselves about Northern California, but in Southern California, are things like hospitalizations rising as briskly?
Yeah, they're rising across the state, and hospitalizations, I mean, obviously that's the worst of it, but we do know enough to know that air pollution causes increased risk for several things. I mean, in my story, I spoke to someone doing what's called the USC Children's Health Study, where they've been looking at kids over the course of several decades and how air pollution has affected them, and we know that it can increase your risk of obesity and diabetes in classes. It could increase your ability to, make difficult your ability to pay attention and stay on task, your behavior in classrooms. If you're an older person, you might rapidly develop dementia and other related symptoms like Alzheimer's. So we do know that those kind of things can increase with air pollution, and so it might stand to reason that smoke as another form of air pollution might be adding, exacerbating that problem.
So the where to go from here would seem to include more fuel treatments, especially in forests, to reduce fuel loads. How much of that has happened to the knowledge of either of you?
One of our other journalists in our collaborative, Scott Rodd of Capital Public Radio, did a really important investigation over the summer where he pointed out that Gavin Newsom, the governor of California, systematically misled the public on the amount of forest land treatment that he's been doing. And actually, he'd been overstating the work on his quote-unquote priority projects by 600%. He was saying he had done about 90,000 acres of treatment on these priority projects, and the real amount was 12,000. Then as we delved deeper, we found that the state of California was way, way behind this ambitious goal that he and the Trump administration set for clearing. The state and the feds were both supposed to clear about 500,000 acres treated with prescribed burns or thinning or whatever it would be appropriate for that site, 500,000 acres a year. The feds are less than half of that amount, and the state can't even tell us how well they're doing. I don't know what the situation is up in Oregon. And Kaylee maybe can get into a little bit of the why, but we found that there's been a lot of lying out of Sacramento and not a lot of doing.
Hmm. Yeah, Kaylee, pick it up there.
Yeah, well, I mean, I want to at least throw in a bit of a happier note, because all of these are kind of very sad to hear. But it doesn't mean that you can't control a little bit of your own fate here, because, yes, as air quality gets worse, there are steps that people can do, too. You can close your doors and windows. That can cut down the amount of smoke you're breathing by half. If you have an air purifier, you can pick a room and close the door and turn it on and camp out in there. If you have air conditioning, you can turn it on. And if you don't have any of those, you can buy a box fan. You can tape a filter to it, and you can run that indoors. And even that can help some. So even as people who are in charge of policy are perhaps slow to react, it doesn't mean that the rest of us don't have a little bit of control over our fate as the smoke gets worse.
Yeah, I'm looking at air purifiers, and it seems like the bottom of the market's about $200. No, wait, I take it. There's one for Ace Hardware for $180. So you can. In fact, we bought one at our house, and yeah, it's nice when it's green and not red. We put it outside on one smoky day, and it turned red. I can tell you that much. About a minute left here, Aaron. The idea about forest maintenance, and I'm hearing debates already over recent fires, like how effective such treatments have been or not. I mean, because Paradise, for example, there was a heavily treated area east of town that apparently had burned right through on its way into Paradise. The campfire did.
Well, we're just running out of time here, but you're exactly right. This is an important debate to be having. Scott Rodd, the reporter who did the excellent investigation about Governor Newsom's misrepresentation, went up to Lake Shasta in your area where one of these projects was, and that was where the lava fire was. It was the first big fire this season. They built a fuel break on the highway that was supposed to protect Lake Shasta, and the wildfire just blew right over it. And honestly, it would have destroyed the town, which was the whole point of the fuel break, if we hadn't been very, very lucky and the wind hadn't changed at the last minute. So how much and what works is a very important conversation, and perhaps one that we can have at another date.
Okay, yeah, that's a lot of stuff to talk about here, and we covered a lot in this hour, but yeah, as we pointed out, smoke is not going away, the fires are still going to happen, so there was going to be a continued need for discussion and action. Thanks to Aaron Glantz, Senior Investigations Editor for NPR's California Newsroom. Good to have you on the show. And Kaylee Wells, a reporter and producer at KCRW in Los Angeles. Good to have you as well.